in light of the terrible and evil actions that have begun to unfold in this last week with Vladimir Putin's order for the Russian army to advance on Ukraine from the east, the north, and the south, today's collect is particularly pertinent. We prayed at the beginning of this Mass these words: "Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that the course of our world may be directed by your peaceful rule, that the course of our world may be directed by your peaceful rule." Pope Francis stated clearly the other day words that reiterate this prayer. I would like to appeal to those with political responsibilities to do a serious examination of conscience before God, who is the God of peace and not of war, who is the Father of all and not only of some, who wants us to be brothers and sisters and not enemies. In a statement released on February 22nd, Archbishop Shevchuk of Kyiv, head of the Ukrainian Catholic Church, said the following: "Today, all of humanity has been placed in danger because Putin's action asserts that the powerful have the right to impose themselves on whomever they wish, with no regard for the rule of law." That God desires for our world to be directed by his peaceful rule is the theme at the heart of this Sunday's readings. Vince read a short text from the book of Sirach. The book of Sirach is part of what's called the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And we picked up the reading at verse 4. I want to read to you verse 1 of this same chapter, chapter 27. There we hear these words: "Many have committed sin for gain, and those who seek to get rich will avert their eyes." Let me read that again. "Many have committed sin for gain, and those who seek to get rich will avert their eyes." Putin is reportedly worth $200 billion. This verse from the 27th chapter of the book of Sirach speaks of those whose motive is the exact opposite of God's peaceful rule, and speaks of the motive behind those who assert the right to impose themselves on whomever they wish. It is for gain, so they will avert their eyes to the suffering they inflict in order to reach their goal. Now, with this verse in mind, listen again to the verses that were our text at Mass today. "When a sieve is shaken, the refuse appears. So do one's faults when one speaks. Its fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. So a person's speech discloses the cultivation of the mind." I think these are vivid images that express in poetry what we have been witnessing this week. The true motivation of Putin's actions are so contrary to God's peaceful rule, and his speech is disclosing the cultivation of his mind. For it is with words that he gave the order to advance on Ukraine. What this text from the wisdom literature teaches is how the motives of the mind will be disclosed in such a way that the evil course of action is described as refuse appearing in a sieve, or a tree that discloses that it does not bear good fruit. For indeed, the logic is, if the fruit is good, the tree is healthy. If the tree is fruitless or the fruit is poor, there's something fundamentally wrong with the tree. Now, Jesus picks up this teaching in today's gospel when he states that each tree is known by its fruit. For a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, says the Lord. Prior to this, he uses a powerful image. When he asks the question, can a blind person lead a blind person? Of course not. For if one blind person is leading another blind person, they will both fall into a pit. I would like to suggest that it is such blind ambition that we see in an action that has not been initiated by a European nation since Germany invaded Austria in March of 1938. So here we are, and we want to ask the question, or at least I want to ask the question on our behalf. How do we live according to God's peaceful rule when Putin's ambition is causing a global crisis resulting in such suffering for the Ukrainian people? And as Pope Francis said the other day, this is affecting people around the world with feelings of anguish and concern. I want to return to our collect, and I want to restate the part of the prayer I already said, but then I want to read the next part of the prayer. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that the course of our world may be governed by your peaceful rule, and that your church may rejoice untroubled in her devotion. So that's the second part of the collect, that your church may rejoice untroubled in her devotion. What is our devotion as Catholics? Well, we could say it's many things. Today, I want to say that at the heart of our devotion is to be men and women of peace, whose hearts are also set on an honest self-assessment of our own tendency towards imposing our views on others and to disregard the perspective of what another person is saying. This is what Jesus is getting at in that part of the gospel where he says we are called to a kind of honest self-examination, looking at the log in our own eye in order that in turn we can respectfully see the speck that is in the other person's eye, so that we can respectfully engage with another person and affirm their true dignity. If you're married, if you live in a family, if you just live, you know how hard this is. It's so much easier to see the speck in my brother or sister's eye, and while I've got the log in my eye, I turn my head and I knock them over. And that's the point that Jesus is getting at with this graphic image. So in the face of this week, may we be resolved more and more to be people who desire God's way of rule, so that out of the heart, we may produce good, knowing that it is this that can combat the evil produced by a heart that commits sin for gain. Now, as I come to the end of my homily, I want to acknowledge that for all of us, this is a profoundly challenging time. And there's a verse from the reading from Sirach I have not yet quoted. I want to quote it now. The kiln tests the potter's vessels. So the test of a just person is in tribulation. I hate that. The test of a just person is in tribulation. We are just coming out of the test of 2 years of COVID, and here is another test. And it seems that at the very heart of the biblical witness is that it is through tribulation that can always be an opportunity for us to become more and more the people that we are called to be. St. Paul so clearly understood this, that in that passage from 1 Corinthians 15, which is at the end of a whole chapter on the resurrection of the dead, he speaks these words with confidence. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, for you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I want to share with you a story that happened 60 years ago. It was October 1962, at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the world came closer than ever before to World War III. After imposing a blockade on Soviet ships from landing in Cuba, President Kennedy asked his friend Norman Cousins, who was the editor of a journal called Saturday Review, to make contact with the Vatican. And he was to request Pope John XXIII to make a public intervention. This is what John XXIII did in October of 1962. He first went to the Soviet embassy and delivered a private message there. And he then went on Vatican radio and said these words to the world. I beg heads of state not to remain insensitive to the cry of humanity. Peace, peace, said Pope John XXIII. Let them do all that is in their power to save peace. One commentator, in reflecting on this, wrote the following. The value of this message allowed for Premier Khrushchev of the Soviet Union to look like a lover of peace rather than a coward for backing down. 6 weeks later, the Soviet leader confirmed the value of Pope St. John XXIII's involvement, and he told a journalist these words. During the weeks of the Cuban crisis, the Pope's appeal was a real ray of light. I am grateful for it, said the head of the Soviet Union. Yesterday, Pope Francis spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky and conveyed to Archbishop Shevchuk, that I will do everything I can to help this situation. Let us ask for the prayers of three popes who lived through the reality of the Cold War. Popes St. John XXIII, Pope St. Paul VI, and Pope St. John Paul II. And let us take to heart Pope Francis's call for prayer and fasting on Ash Wednesday. He appeals to us. I invite everyone to make March 2nd, Ash Wednesday, a day of fasting and prayer for peace. I encourage believers in a special way to devote themselves intensely to prayer and fasting on that day. May the Queen of Peace protect the world from the folly of war. In part to respond to the Holy Father's request here at St. Peter's on Wednesday, please come to Mass at either 8:30 or 7 p.m. And then from 12 p.m. until 6:45, we will have Eucharistic adoration. After the 7 p.m. Mass is concluded, adoration will begin again at around 8 p.m. and will conclude with benediction at 9:50 p.m. If you can come to be part of our prayer as we join the prayer of the world, I, as your pastor, and in response to the Holy Father's appeal, encourage you to make the time to do so. I want to now pray a prayer for Ukraine. And this is a prayer that is based on one that Pope St. John Paul II wrote many years ago. Let us pray. God of infinite mercy and goodness, with grateful hearts we pray to you today for peace. You offer us your peace continually and constantly remind us that peacemakers are blessed, for they shall be called children of God. May your voice resound in the hearts of all as you call us to follow the path of reconciliation and peace, and to be merciful as you are merciful. We pray to you for the people of Ukraine who are experiencing conflicts and deaths. Bless the leaders with wisdom, vision, courage, perseverance that is needed to build together a world of justice and solidarity and to break down walls of hostility and division. To you we entrust all families and pray that they may never yield to discouragement and despair, but become heralds of new hope to one another in this challenging time. May you continue to inspire all of us to oneness of heart and mind, to work generously for the common good, to respect the dignity of every person and the fundamental rights which have their origin in the image and likeness of God impressed upon every human being. Grant eternal rest to the dead and quick recovery to the wounded. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.